RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rad, boys and girls, on a different week with so much going on. It's unbelievable. I've got to tell you a quick story because so many have asked, and I'm not going to bore Lee to death because he'll get all upset. Several people have said, can I put Windows 8 on my laptop? See, I told you you'd get bored. The truth is, boys and girls, if you've got a relatively new laptop with Windows 7 on it, I'm going to have to eat humble pie now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to eat humble pie, Lee.
Oh, hang on. You promised to do something like this for me.
It's well worth upgrading to Windows 8. It is so cool. So cool. Ooh. It's not just cool. It's in the deep freeze, it's cool. It is so cool.
And what in fact, a cool way to put cool.
In fact, last night, I had it plugged into my telly, and I'm watching a programme on telly, and because I was interested to see what happens at an awards ceremony last night in London, on the side of the screen, Twitter was coming up and actually giving me all the results as it was live. And I actually texted our chairman and said, well done, congratulations on the win, because his company won a couple of awards for some tech stuff. And, you know, you can do that equally. I can just leave the screen on, and I can see all the headlines from Reuters, the BBC, Sky, Associated Press, all on my screen, self-doing everything, comes up like a ticker. It's just awesome.
A ticker?
Yeah.
Chicken tikka?
No, not chicken tikka masala. Tikka, like across the bottom of the screen that you used to have in the old days.
Oh,
of telly.
Like a ticker tape.
Like a ticker tape, yes.
Woohoo! I want one of them.
And it all on little tiles, and you can even play games that are designed for tablets and touch screens using your mouse. It's got. But it lies.
It lies?
It lies.
Little liar.
Yeah, little liar, Mr. Windows 8. Because when I did the test on it, it said, oh, it won't do that, and it won't. Oh, that software's not compatible. And I ended up, and some of you may remember this, Paint Shop Pro, but number 4, which dates back to the mid-1990s. And I even loaded that onto Windows 8, and it works. So it will do all sorts of wonderful things, and it's incredibly clever, very simple to use, fast to boot up, and it made a Windows 7 machine seem like a brand new machine again. Amazing. Uh-huh. Mm. And it was so easy.
That sounds wonderful.
It was. And I've had to eat humble pie, because I've always said to people, never buy Windows when it first comes out, wait a year. But in this case, humble pie time, Lee.
Humble pie, nothing wrong with humble pie. Stevie Marriott, used to love them. They were brilliant. They should be on Radio 1.
Oh, my word.
Can I just tell you a little high-tech story of my own?
Yes, you can, sir.
Can I tell you about my beanbag after as well?
No, that's not high-tech.
No, it just made me think of it when I said high-tech. Anyway, I went on to that book thing on the internet. What's it called? Amazon.
Right, yes, book thing.
I was looking for a book, and it wasn't there. And it's a good service, isn't it? And so I emailed one of their helpline bits and said, I can't find it, but do you have that self-help book for men with small gentleman sausages? And this the helpline thing wrote back. It isn't. Wrote back saying, the helpline thing wrote back saying, I don't think it's in yet. I said, yes, that's the one.
I knew it. Actually, you just reminded me something as well. Because I goofed when I put Windows 8 on.
You goofed?
Yeah, I goofed.
That's your age. Is that the same as barfed?
I'm being... No, not quite. Because I put it on and I was all despondent when I first put it on and loaded it. I was really upset.
Oh, no.
I was.
Oh, you should have phoned me. I'd have felt.
Yeah. And I thought, I must be doing something wrong. So eventually, I thought, okay, I'll go to the helpline. Now, this was 5 o'clock in the evening on a Sunday. Yeah? So I thought, I wonder if I'm even going to get through on the chat. So I went on, and it says, could you wait a minute, please? I'm thinking, here we go, 1 minute, 1 hour. 1 minute later, young lady's on the chat thing, seeing what my problem is.
Aye.
And she couldn't figure it. And I couldn't figure it. And she said, I'll tell you what we should do is we should send you over to this service because you only bought it today, therefore it's under warranty, da-di-da-di-da. And she sent me over to this chap called Robert Lee. And it's not
Robert E. Lee.
No, it wasn't Robert E. Lee, it's Robert Lee, who was downright stunning. He was brilliant.
You quite liked him, did you? Well, in a sort of sensual fashion.
Well, no, because he said his first words were, could you explain to me what your level of experience of computing is? So I thought, I wonder what I should put there. I had no idea what. And I said, well, it's above average. I can build land systems and stuff like that. But I wouldn't say I'm an expert, because anybody who says they're an expert, I'll call them a liar. So he wrote back. He said, there's a nice way to put it. So you're technically aware then? So, yes. So he said, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you tried that? Have you tried this? And I said, yeah. And what I'd done is I had worked out, and this is a top tip for you if you're putting Windows 8 on.
Talking about somebody getting the top tips out.
Again, Windows 8 needs the latest version of Avast antivirus to work.
If it makes a vast difference.
A vast difference. Oh, no, I sounded northern. A vast difference. So you need to make sure you upgrade to Avast, which I had done.
Had you?
I had.
So interesting, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? I'm riveted on the edge of my beanbag.
So I hadn't worked out properly, because I didn't read any of the instructions, which I don't, how to close Windows down properly. I just went to my picture. It said log off, and I thought, well, that's what
that
it means.
That is the equivalent to...
I just thought it was like a shutdown thing, you see.
Yeah, log off.
But it wasn't. Because... Oh, wasn't it? It went to log off. I see the little wheel going round and round, so I think, oh, I'll get a cup of tea while it's doing that. So off I go and get a cup of tea.
He suffers with tea breath, you know.
So I go and get a cup of tea, come back, and the screen's gone black.
Eric, it hasn't.
So I'm thinking, oh, it must be rebooting. So I wiggle the mouse, and sure enough, my log-on icon is there.
So which icon's there?
My log-on icon is there.
Your log-on icon, that's it. It's iconic when you get a log-on.
Well, that's because it's my picture, you see, that's there. So anyway, I click on picture, and I start again, and it still doesn't work.
So no, Eric!
Oh, no. So Robert Lee, bless him, says, can he access my computer, blah, 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 rather like I do to fix yours.
Oh, dear. Oh, you do? Yes, he does, Lee. He logs on to me sometimes.
So, anyway, Robert, the first thing he does is he goes, Avast, looks at it, and Avast says...
Got his cutlass out.
It says, need to reboot. But I've just done that. And he said, did you log off or reboot? And I went, well, I logged off. And he said, ah, there's your problem.
You notice, ladies and gentlemen, he said he'd take this just 30 seconds. This is 10 minutes now.
So I then suddenly realised that you have to do something different on Windows 8 to actually restart the computer. And did I feel a pillock or what?
Yeah, well, if you've logged on, you should feel a pillock. Yeah.
So I apologised profusely to Robert Lee, who said, no, it's no problem. We get this all the time. Don't worry about it. Is there anything else I can help you with today?
Oh, dear. A bit hands-on, this help, isn't it?
And I went, no, that's absolutely fine. He said, OK, sir, lovely talking to you. Have a nice day. And he went, and I've gone, that was a Microsoft bloke. He was courteous.
Microsoft are lovely. I tell you what, Microsoft are really good these days.
Well, two of them in one day on a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock.
Two of them?
Yeah. Couldn't believe it. New storms have hit the US as Obama steps back into the White House, home sweet home. Yep. Yep.
Bit bad, I tell you. Now, I feel sorry for America. I don't very often feel sorry for America because I think it's a big country that can stand on its own 2 feet. But I tell
you, excuse me,
it
stands on its own 2 feet, backed by China's money.
That's a bit incendiary.
Well, it's true.
Might be true, but it's a bit incendiary. This is a country that's suffering at the moment.
China's got millions of dollars worth of bonds that America have issued. So,
So
China's one of the, I think, if not the biggest holder of the American purse.
Well, it is, but I'm still feeling sorry for them. They've just been hit by a load more storms, and poor old Cedric, or whatever he's called, Obama, has got just got himself right back into the White House, and I have no disrespect for him in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. And what a job he's facing now! And what in the stock? Just because he's back in power, the stock market's plunged by 200 points.
Yeah, well, that's because they thought the other one was going to get in, who was going to give them loads of money again.
Bit scary if he'd have got in, I tell you.
He frightened
me. Better the devil you know than the devil who's going to, like, mess his life up.
Yes.
It could have a real effect on the English economy. We're just seeing what are laughingly called green shoots. That means the sort of things you go and put a bit of weed killer on are just coming through in our economy. Mm. And America is getting back on its feet, and by God, we need to jump on their back.
The only thing I would say to you there, Lee, is the reason we got stuffed by all that which happened with Fannie Mae and all the rest of them in America when the housing stocks collapsed. That was then. Those, as they are called, toxic debts are no longer going to impact on the banks here in the same way.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. We have, because the American economy is starting to look like it can get back on its feet. A terrible thing that was, wasn't it? Then it looks like we could get back on our feet as well. And, you know, it just is. It's just, and I feel sorry for America. It's the first time I've ever said that. I feel sorry for America at the moment.
Well, I feel sorry for them compared. They've got they've had the Superstorm Sandy.
And they've just been hit by this other one. Now they've got petrol shortages. How can America have petrol shortages?
Well, because they haven't got the infrastructure to get the petrol to the petrol stations.
Silly billies.
And I have to say that Mike Bloomberg, he is trying to do the sensible thing and say, look, don't panic buy. Get what you need and leave the rest. But, you know, people aren't. And whilst I agree with Mike Bloomberg a lot, it just isn't going to work because these guys just are not going to calm down. And I've seen it before in the UK. You will remember it years ago, Lee, where people went out and had to queue for petrol. They were filling up every jerry can they got. And then for the next 6 months, nobody sold any petrol because they didn't need any.
Well, that's what happened last year, wasn't it? When the Cameron invented a fuel crisis in Britain that wasn't there.
Exactly.
Everybody went out and bought loads of petrol. Then the carriages started going bankrupt because they couldn't pay the bills because they weren't selling any.
Well, yeah, exactly. But I do think, and taking your point of the green shoots, and it's something we've mentioned so many times on this programme, we as researchers and journalists, not associated to the RTI work, boys and girls, have been looking at where there's been growth, where there's jobs. And there are tens of thousands of jobs being created.
Of course there are.
But the problem is the trained staff aren't always there. And that's the big issue. There's got to be more training in the UK to get more plumbers, electricians, gas people. You know, they need, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Hands-on training. What do you call it, Lee? It's not university, it's...
distance learning.
No. That's not the words I'm thinking of.
What's the word you're thinking
more
of?
More like
then?
Apprentices, you know, that sort of...
Oh, apprentices, yeah.
There's a word...
I know what you mean, but I can't think of the word either.
Well, no, and this is the problem. Everybody wants to be a university graduate and get a job in photography or something stupid, a bit like the Ash was saying earlier, where you've got stupid people going in who... Yes, as Ash put it... And that's why the green shoots are not as strong as they should be.
Because it's not focused, is it? The training that we're offering our country isn't focused. You've got to accept, and there was a report, I didn't put it on the list this week, but it did interest me, though, that the majority of university students now are not getting the high-paid jobs they were expected to get by going to university.
Correct.
The government is taking millions and millions and billions of pounds on extortionate fees to, like you say, teach people to go out and be media students, to be sociological.
Oh, yeah,
students.
If you've got an ology, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, but it ain't brilliant anymore. It used to be. It ain't anymore because everybody's got one.
Well, actually, talking of that, and we mentioned Microsoft earlier, I mean, they've got schemes now where you need zero qualifications, okay? And this is true, boys and girls.
This is true. Very interesting as well, actually, yeah.
Zero qualifications. But if you're qualified in terms of being able to set up a company in the gaming industry where you make games for Windows 8 and the like, they will actually give you a huge grant if you've got the bits in the right places. But you don't need to have an ology or any form of degree to get this massive support from Windows and or Microsoft. And they're not asking for investor capital equity in your company either. They're just saying, look, prove to us you can do something and we'll help you get going. It's a kind of foundation scheme. And it's worth, to some of these startup businesses, it's worth the equivalent of £30,000.
Well, yeah, absolutely incredible. And what a deal. And, you know, I don't respect a lot of organisations, major organisations, like most people know. And yet I have to respect an organisation like this that just does say, look, show us you can do what you say you can do and we'll bung you this to help you get on your feet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant.
I think it's a stunning program. And please, if you're out there listening and you're 18...
Are we going to say what it's called or not?
No. I'm not giving too many adverts, for goodness sake. They've had enough. If you are around 18 years, have a look at what your options are. Don't just listen to some bonehead careers advisor says, I think you should take an A level in geography because you're rather good at that, and get a couple of others as well, and you can go off to university now.
When you're on, that'll be on when you're on your bike looking for a job.
Yeah, exactly. So just think about it. If you've got a talent, and I'm drawn to another story of a young lad who did some work experience with me years and years ago, the school didn't give a tuppenny cuss about him. Because he wasn't doing it their way. What I actually found out very quickly is he was very creative, got a brilliant eye for photography and video work. Mm-hmm. And when he finished a six-week work experience with us, and I wrote up his notes, as you have to do for the government and all this ridiculous paperwork, he then took it to Dixon's, the high street stores in the UK. They read it and phoned me up and said, is that right? He's got this and that and that. I said, yeah. And they took him on as a trainee salesman. At last heard, he was a regional manager for them.
Well, he hasn't
got an ology.
You don't need an ology. I have no qualms in saying, ladies and gentlemen, I've said this before, and it's not anything that anybody can do about now. But when I got into journalism, I've edited newspapers, I've worked on all national newspapers, I've gone the whole gamut of the world of newspapers. You needed a university degree to do the job that I do and did. I didn't have a university degree. I didn't even have any GCEs or whatever they were called. CSEs.
I've got an O level in woodwork.
Actually, I got an O level. I've got to be honest. I had an O level in art and an O level in English, and that's all. It isn't what your qualifications say you can do. When I was taking on staff, it was the people who were trained in the job that they wanted to do, not the people who'd been to university and got an ology, as Eric says. It was the people who knew what the job was that they wanted to do. If they were going to be a plumber, then they needed to have learned to be a plumber. If they're going to be a games designer, they needed to know how to design a game. That's what the world's about.
Well, funnily enough, in this particular office, boys and girls, we now do have some university degree graduates. But they've only taken the degrees just to prove to people outside that they can get a degree, whereas their work, they were taken on to do the job because I could see straight away they were capable of doing it. Nothing to do with the paperwork. Absolutely.
Well, that's what
not.
I'm saying, but I'm saying go somewhere that will teach you to do the job you want to do.
Yep, absolutely. And
not go and learn some load of rubbish that has nothing to do with what it is you want to do in your life.
We're rantingly like two old men.
I am an old woman.
I didn't want to say. the new Archbishop of Canterbury has been announced.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, eh?
A former oil executive, and he's been in his current job as the Bishop of Durham for just a year, and now he's going to become...
Can I read the headline?
If you wish.
Oil will be well in church as long as nobody bashes the bishop.
Anyway, said gentleman, as I said, was in the oil business. He's been a bishop for just no more than a year in the in Durham.
What qualifications he had for that, being an oil executive?
Well, I suppose in a lot of ways, if you're running something like, you know, a global faith like the Church of England, you need to be a bit sharp when it comes to, you know, all the business side of it as well these days.
Yeah, I suppose you get oil on water, at least you've got a chance of walking on it.
Ho, 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 ho. But anyway, we wish him well. It's not going to be an easy job.
Can I just say something before we wish him well?
Yeah, go on then.
Well, no, it's not really against. Well, it is, yes. This bloke is against. He opposes and stands up to oppose gay marriage. I think that is pretty despicable when gay people take on hoteliers and cost them fortunes and create all sorts of mayhem for them, and the country allows them to do that. And this bishop stands up openly, says he's against gay marriage. And you know what appalls me about this, and I find really, really, really frightening, is that David Cameron made an equation between paedophiles and gays on television only 2 days ago. I think this is a wrong way for us to be looking at this world. Not you and I mean the world to be looking at itself.
Yes, and that caused a spat as well, didn't it? Because allegedly some names were shown to a camera. I have actually looked at the piece and I'm damned.
They weren't. That's a load of rubbish.
I can't see them. I can't see them at all. Even with my very, very clever software where I could freeze the frame and then look at it, I still can't see any names, boys and girls.
And I just want to say to the gay community, he's called Justin. Justin Wellby. Well, I suppose Justin is better than not. Not in at all, eh, chaps?
Yes, let's move on. There's more nasty things coming out with...
That is terrible. This is awful. And I think what worries me quite genuinely is that this thing that started off just a month ago, is... And it was to do with some pervert old DJ who did some horrific things. And as we've talked about a number of times, I, in my heyday in investigative journalism... tried to expose this character and was stopped. And we tried at the same time to expose some MPs and other people in power. And these stories were all kicked under the carpet and held out of the way. Now, what's happening is that this is spreading like a cancer into every aspect of society and the people who run British society. This is turning into one of the most horrific things ever to come up in the news agendas of the world.
I'm fearful for mentioning this. I worry, because I know what you're going to do. But at the same point, you've got David Cameron, who's actually warning against a witch hunt on gay people, which I have to agree with.
Why has he drawn this equation between paedophiles and gays?
Because people are doing it, Lee.
Believe me, I know about it. I spent a lot of my life investigating this, like I say, and recently as well I've been investigating this. But within there are homosexual links within the abuse in all areas, but there are also areas of heterosexual abuse, which is just as horrific. Yes. And I am appalled that the Prime Minister of our country stood up and said what he did.
Yeah, I agree. Which leads me on to another quick topic, which we won't go on to for too long. Apparently there's been some notes come out about Leveson and all the inquiries that have been going on into the press. And there's now another call which says the press should not be regulated by government, should not be regulated by themselves. It should be an independent, totally independent organisation that regulates the press in the UK for complaints. And I have to say, that's one of the most sensible things I've ever heard in my life.
I think feasibly that has legs to stand
on. I think so.
But
as wait, well.
may I just say,
as long as they give two of the jobs to me and Lee.
Yeah, but let me say that because I do think this is a really important point. The British press, I'm talking about the printed media, were in the doldrums for a long time.
Hold on.
What?
I don't think you can have the print media legislated in a different way to radio or television.
And no, you can't.
No, I don't think you should. And I think it should be an independent, not government organisation that looks after TV and radio, and now the internet as well.
Let me say my point.
Go on then.
No, because what it is, and I do think this is an important point, and I'm, you know, I know I rant about this sort of thing a lot, and that's because I'm a red top.
We shout.
And headlines are shouters. That's what we are.
Yes.
But quite seriously, the internet brought the press to its knees, the printed media to its knees, and it stayed in the doldrums for a long time, and it went down some awful roads of mediocrity and not really doing the job that it should have done.
Mm.
Now, when Leveson and his cohort started this inquiry, which is going to end up completely toothless and will have no effect at all, what happened was that this story, we've just been discussing, the Savile story came out, and all the stuff that has come to the world, the fore in the world about this and what's happened in society and the way society was treating children as fodder for celebrities, has all come out because of investigations carried out by the print media. It was the TV, it was television who originally broke the story, then left it alone. It's the press that have run with it and dug up all this stuff. And that's why you could not regulate the press in the same way as TV and radio should be regulated.
Okay, well, we're virtually out of time, so I'm going to squeeze into our story number 10, which refers to one of the MPs in the UK, who's a feisty young 55-year-old who's decided to...
She's a MILF.
If you say so. not my taste. And she's decided to whip it all out. And she's got caught on camera.
Yay!
In the celebrity jungle thingamajiggy. She's decided to go topless, sunning herself before she goes into the jungle. That's MP Nadine Dorris.
Some put it, mad clad, unclad.
And she's going to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which takes place in Queensland in Australia. Actually, we ought to get our Australian colleague to go and have a little look for us, Henry, shouldn't we? That'd be good.
I tell you what, I'll have a word with him. Actually.
Yeah, shall we do that? Anyway, she. Doris, bless her.
Doris.
Bless her. Was in a posh hotel in Queensland. And so she pulled the top of her swimsuit down to get an aide to rub lotion onto her back. Unfortunately, click, click. Click, click.
Yeah, click, click, every trip. And that's what amazes me. Why do we all think this is so funny and so ridiculous? And
well, the only thing I would say is
she
wouldn't bump her nose if she fell over forwards.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Is it really? Well,
that's a terrible thing to say. You should be ashamed of yourself.
But I bet all the people in the production company, Celebrity Get Me Out of Here, in the jungle thingy, whatever, are all rubbing their hands with glee at the moment with all the free publicity.
What, to make them warm? Yeah.
I bet they are.
So that's like me saying that Andrea waxes her legs every day so she can slip into her jeans easily.
On that happy note, we'll leave. Bez Gardner and Pop Rap for another week. See you soon. Bye-bye.
RTI.